Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Discover how you can take charge of the all-new Corsa E on opel.ie.
First, I'm joined in the studio by Eamon Ryan, Minister for Transport. Good morning to you. You're
morning,
very
Claire.
Welcome. Thank you for being with us. Now, it would seem from what we've heard over the weekend and the reaction certainly we get here on the programme and the polls that the public is way ahead of the government on this mandatory quarantine. People really want it. They feel that we deserve to be protected. And we know Sinn Féin, the Labour Party, People Before Profit, the Social Democrats, they're all calling for this, as have others. Where do you stand on it this morning as you sit here?
We do deserve to be protected. And our healthcare workers, first and foremost, and people in our hospitals deserve to be protected. We are in a very precarious position in our hospitals, particularly at this time. So we will do everything, and we are doing everything, to make sure that that protection is given as to the best of our ability. And I absolutely, people are frightened. One of the, because the numbers are scary in our hospitals. And anyone working in nursing or in frontline hospital knows how tight it is now. So absolutely. Some reassurance comes from the fact that the numbers are starting to reduce, the case numbers. And while there's a lag, if those numbers continue, the positivity rate continues to fall. And that's thanks to all our efforts collectively as a people. We are able to get this back under control. And that's the first thing we need to get right. And first and foremost, by our own actions, by our own efforts. And actually, that is working. It's been slow, but it is working.
And we know that the vast majority of people are really doing their best to adhere to the regulations. And yet the Taoiseach at the weekend saying that people who are coming into this country are Irish people coming back from their holidays. And Sunday Independent said the vast majority of travellers coming here were people who live in Ireland returning from Spain. And they say that's coming from a government source. Why are we letting people do that when most people listening to this programme are not travelling 5k from their home and there are people going to Tenerife?
We're not letting them do that. On Friday, with officials, various departments had a series of meetings, and we realised that, yes, we need to go further for a variety of different reasons to tighten up. That started on Friday. People have noticed now the guards are on checkpoints at the approaches and coming out of the airport and saying, sorry, you cannot fly. You cannot be within more than five kilometres of your home. You will be fined. You will be prosecuted. That has to stop immediately. Secondly, a whole series of other measures. The real concern from the health officials and others is in terms of new variants. And that's the real concern, that one might be less effective or in terms of the vaccine stopping it. So for that reason, we will be this evening. There's a further cabinet subcommittee meeting to agree an approach that has been proposed, that we would introduce quarantine measures, that if someone is coming, either if they're coming and they haven't filled in their PCR form, a negative test in advance of flying, and 99%+ of passengers are doing it. But for those who don't, again, sorry, you cannot come in. You have to go into a quarantine. Or for those coming from certain countries, South America, South Africa, where there is concern about variants, and we have to follow international advice on this. We have to do this as part of an international effort. It will only work is if we're following good international advice. We're firstly saying you cannot come in on a short-term holiday visa, as it were, so that will change. You will have to quarantine regardless of who you are or whatever reason.
Are you going to do the hotel quarantine? The mandatory hotel quarantine.
It has to be decided by the cabinet subcommittee first this evening, and by cabinet tomorrow. You have to go through.
Would you feel that's the right thing to do?
Absolutely.
For whom? For South Africa,
for
South
those
America.
Categories, and that then we have a system up and running where we can apply it. We see how it works. We have the necessary laws in place. There may be legal and other regulations you have to put in place, but yes, we have to. We have to tighten up because I think our public are, they need to have the sense, and I think they can, that we are able to control this to the best of our ability.
Are you going to stop flights into and out of Portugal?
The first thing on flights is, as I said, is that anyone coming from Portugal, the risk in Portugal is if someone was coming from South America, not Portugal per se. No one coming will be able to come into Ireland via another route, be it Portugal or any other location.
Yeah, but the UK... As soon as the Brazilian variant was identified, the UK stopped those flights.
They did, but I'm also working at a long conversation with my UK colleague on Friday night. And what we are looking to do is to match and make sure that there is a seamless approach as best we can between these two islands, so that there isn't a backdoor one way or the other.
Well, there is, because we were contacted by somebody this morning who was on a flight to Ireland from Faro at the weekend, and there were flights coming in from Lisbon as well. And that person told us that the flight was full of English people who were going through the Irish back door.
Yeah, and that's, as I said, one of the reason why we do have to have a cooperative approach.
Well, why don't we just stop the flights like the UK have done from Portugal?
Yeah, we will look clear at everything. If there's an instance like that, where we see that there's a gap in the defences, we will close it. And we will have to work in collaboration to do that. I listened to Mary McLuhan-Donald, and you mentioned other leaders saying we should go further. If we can get agreement on an all-island basis, we can apply that on an all-island basis. If we can get agreement with the executive up north, where Sinn Féin are one of the five parties in government, then absolutely we will close the door that way. If that isn't possible, and it hasn't been possible to date, we will have to work very closely with the UK government and with our European colleagues as well. We do also work with the European Centre of Disease Control, and we take their advice because we are a European country. And I listened as well last week, Mike Ryan. He spoke at the Royal Irish Academy, and he said, be careful here now. You can look for easy, kind of supposed easy, kind of silver bullet solutions. Oh, if only we did this, then the whole risk would go away. The first thing we have to do is what we do here at home, and we are doing that. It is starting to work, in my mind. The second thing we need to do is work in international collaboration, and not calling another country a pariah per se, because we could have been in that position a few weeks ago. Thankfully, our numbers are starting to come down, so we're at less at risk of it. What critically you do need, Mike Ryan says, is a global response here, where you find out very quickly, you do as much testing as possible, and you manage it that way. It isn't all just about simple ban will solve this and problem goes away. Because those people coming in, let's say from Portugal, could easily fly a different route. So there isn't a silver bullet here. But what there are is a whole series of layers of security. The way aviation security works is the same thing we should apply here, is that you have one layer after another. That's why we introduced the PCR test. Only 10 days.
Yeah, but that's a snapshot in time, you know. And we've heard from the World Health Organization that you get your PCR negative result and then you pick up COVID on the way to the airport and you're incubating on the plane.
But what it does, Claire, and what it has done, it's dramatically cut the number of people flying straight away. Now, when we go another layer on top of that and have someone outside Dublin Airport saying, sorry, you cannot fly, that will do it again. What we're seeing is
you're making it awkward for people.
Reducing the numbers and therefore reducing the risk. Mm-hmm. When we were in this campaign, just look back over the last 12 months. God, it is almost 12 months now. We actually had the biggest reduction in travel compared to most other European developed countries. We actually cut travel very significantly, about 90%, more just about as much as any country. What's happened since this new variant came out? We immediately introduced a ban on UK travel. So straight away, stop that. But the European health advice was, no, you don't just do bans, you do health-based approach. So that's why we introduced this PCR test, which significantly reduces the number of people travel. And that's why we're going to go further today and tomorrow as a government in saying at the airport, no, sorry, you cannot fly. You're in fact subject to a fine because yours is not an essential journey. That will further reduce numbers down.
Can I just ask you on that, on the Garda powers, because if you arrive in and you don't have your negative PCR test, the guards don't have the power to stop you travelling on. Is that right at the moment?
But they will. That's where we're going to introduce
quarantine.
You're
going to change that.
Yeah.
Okay, and what other measures then are you going to consider at this meeting later today?
The first thing is, as I said, introducing those quarantine measures for a variety of different categories, and that will set us up the mechanism and the legal mechanism how to do it. Secondly, we will stop the issuing of short-term visas from certain countries where you could come in currently on a holiday visa. You cannot do that. Thirdly, is introducing much stricter sanctions in terms of the 5-kilometre route to stop people flying, and including on cross-border travel to look at if you're coming, let's say, 5 kilometres south of the border, well, why are you? You're now 5 kilometres in.
So there'll be Garda checks and PSNI checks on the border to a much greater extent.
We need to significantly increase our surveillance to reduce particularly unnecessary travel. Some people do need to travel. I mean, why do we not just shut absolutely everything? I'll give you an example. It's just one example, but our power stations need to be serviced and maintained. We need our power system because our hospitals need that to run. Those workers do come in from the UK. So we do have to manage and have safe passage. We do, as Geoffrey Johnson said there, we do need to maintain our ferries and our air cargo system. We do need to keep supplies. So it's not that you can shut down everything. There will still be truckers who will be needed. One further measure we're introducing today, we'll be signing the contract today, is to do antigen testing on our truckers going into France, because they were concerned, understandably, about the UK variation coming in that way. So we'll be setting up on motorway service areas close to, on approach to Dublin Port and to Wexford Port, negative testing for antigen. It's not... it's quicker to do, which is why you do it in those sort of trucker system. It doesn't have the exact same percentage accuracy as PCR.
Will the French accept it?
Yes, we've been in negotiations with talking to the French government for the last week. We're setting it up. It'll start on Thursday. And it'll give us, again, another, come back to what I was saying about layers of security. It's just those series of layers. It's what we've seen in hospitals and others. It's the equivalent of PPE. It's a series of barriers you want to put in place. And it's not any one thing does it. It's the whole series of actions, in the same way that our response as people is about staying at home, reducing contacts and so on. Similarly in travel, we need a multi-layered approach.
Can we go back to what you said there on the border about the increased level of checks? Because we've been hearing time and time again that this is so politically sensitive, we can't do it. Even the Minister for Justice yesterday, Helen McEntee, saying, I don't think I need to say why we can't put restrictions in at the border. Are you saying today that restrictions are going to be put in place at the border?
The same 5 kilometre rules that we're applying outside Dublin Airport. So we're not treating in any different way. But if on a road south of the border, 5 kilometres from the border, someone's on that road and doesn't have a valid explanation as to why they are travelling, their subject will be subject to prosecution and fine. And the guards have those powers. It's up to the... I mean, the guards obviously have to manage those resources, but they can do it in a way that they can do it within their operational system. But yes, we need to give that.
And will there be commensurate measures taken on the other side of the border in Northern Ireland?
That's a matter for the PSNI.
Have we had that conversation?
Yeah, the Taoiseach. And most of my conversations, I'll be upfront, are directly with the UK government. I have been talking to Northern ministers, but the powers for transport is not a delegated function. I don't have an equivalent minister for transport in the North.
So
I've been talking to, obviously, the infrastructure, Minister Nicola Mallon, Mary Lou on a regular basis and others. Because we do need all-island cooperation. The difficulty we do have in that is that that the DUP would argue that the travel between Northern Ireland and the UK is equivalent to travel within the UK, and therefore we cannot introduce as separate islands.
So there won't be an all-island bubble. That can't happen, you're saying?
Well, in my mind, it hasn't been to date politically possible. Perhaps Mary New knows that it is now possible, or thinks that she can get her colleagues in the administration in Stormont to agree that. If they could, that would be brilliant. But I don't believe it's as yet politically possible.
These new checks, the stricter regime, 5K from the border, will that be on the main routes only? Because the temptation, of course, and people will take the secondary routes.
And that's the difficulty, is that it's very difficult to hermetically seal the border. And also, we wouldn't want to seal our border. But that, again, I think, is the Garda Síochána would have that expertise in terms of how do you do it on a varied basis so that there isn't an easy backdoor.
If I'm a citizen of Northern Ireland and I am 4K into the Republic, what can the Gardaí do in that circumstance? If I say I'm not going to turn back?
The same rules will apply. They will be subject to prosecution and a fine.
They can fine a citizen who's travelling.
We'll be introducing mechanisms. There'll be a whole range of different variations like that where we strengthen the rules.
And can you say to them, you must turn back? Will the Gardaí have that power?
The Garda powers will be powers of fining and prosecution.
But they can't turn them back. It'll be the same as what happens at the airport if I don't have a negative PCR test.
Yeah,
I can threaten you with a fine, but I can't tell you to stop your journey.
But come back to Claire, what's actually happening and what we will see happen is those number of, and they were a small number. I mean, the numbers of people flying are down about 98-99%. Compared to usual.
Yeah, it's just the problem with a fining regime without the power to turn people back is that the fine doesn't stop me giving the virus to somebody else. The fine is unpleasant for me, but it doesn't stop the virus transmitting.
No, but what we will do is, with such fines, and on top of having a PCR requirement, PCR test requirement, you will see that kind of non-essential travel will come down to a trickle. And it is, we will look further within that if those measures aren't sufficient and we need to have additional measures to say, sorry, that is not essential travel, you cannot fly. Yes, we would look at those measures as well.
Okay. Your conversations with Grant Shapps, your counterpart in the UK, what does he think the way forward is? I mean, are they talking about a two-island solution?
I think they all recognise that we do have to have cooperation. And we introduced a PCR test requirement on visitors coming in. They did it subsequent to following that, not because I think they were just copying us, but because I think it does make sense. And most European countries, Germany introduced the same as well after we did it. So we are cooperating with our European as well as UK partners. I think there's a clear recognition that it does make sense to have similar standards so you don't have people using a back door. My understanding, and it's moving and it may change because I think we will look at all options. Nothing is ruled out. But my sense at this present time, where they will be going, is similar to ourselves. They have a cabinet meeting tomorrow, as I understand, on this issue. I expect them to be introducing similar sort of quarantine measures to ones that we'll be introducing. And we will continue to review it. It is because it does change based on the latest evidence, based on the latest science.
Yeah, because the example that we use when it comes to the flight from Portugal, and they don't want people from Portugal. They don't want people from the UK flying to Portugal and vice versa. I'm sure if they knew that people were using Ireland to go to Portugal and come back into the UK, that they'd be asking us to cooperate on that basis.
And we would. And there is variations now because they're not in the European Union. I mean, that is one other factor that is a complicating factor. They have different rules. They have different... and in a sense, there has been different rules applied because of that already. So that is a complication that we have to deal with.
On the passenger locator form, we know that 49% of people, I think it was, didn't put their forwarding address on that. People weren't answering the phone and so on. How are you going to improve that system?
Again, that's one of the additional measures we'll be looking at the Cabinet Subcommittee today, at strengthening the passenger location form, both in terms of the questions that are asked, the sharing of information with Northern Ireland, which we will do, and indeed tighter follow-up in terms of checking to see, are you in the place that you said you mm-hmm. would be, and in the introducing a much stricter enforcement of that.
It sounds as though more resources, though, are needed in that regard.
And there will be no shortage of resources because this is, for the whole country, I know absolutely is the case, that, going back to what I said at the very start, to get our hospitals away from that edge, to actually make sure that the loss of life is minimised. There's no shortage of resources. There's no shortage of political commitment. There's no balancing the economy versus the virus on this. Mm-hmm. It is all about the virus.
I want to talk to you about the schools for a minute, because I know you have children who are learning from home like so many of us at the moment. But on Saturday, I think all parents sort of stopped and froze when they heard the Taoiseach saying that the schools wouldn't be going back in full until at least around St. Patrick's Day. Then the Irish Times reports that it could be Easter. I mean, is this the way to communicate with people about this? This is so, it has such a huge impact on people's lives, not to get full information, for the government not to level with us and tell us exactly what you know and what you expect at this stage. It's just unfair.
What I heard the Taoiseach say, which is correct, is that it will be gradual. It starts first and foremost with special needs schools. I think we're all agreed that that should be a first priority to get them back. It's unfortunate that we thought we had kind of a way of doing that, and for a variety of reasons, because of the valid fear that a lot of people have out there, that wasn't possible to get agreement. We're working back towards that agreement. I'm confident and hopeful there will be. I believe the next key first cohort back, in my mind, has to be the Leaving Cert students. Now, I listened to what Alan Kelly, heard what he said yesterday. I respectfully disagree with them. I think we should try and look to do a Leaving Cert this year, a written Leaving Cert. It may have to be varied because of, maybe have a broader series of questions, because recognising that students maybe haven't had as much time in class as they typically would have. So you adjust. But I believe it's in the interest of those students, it's in the interest of all of us, that there is, to the best of our ability, a Leaving Cert carried out. To manage that, again, we'd have to work with the unions, work with the various interest groups, and that is happening, to set a timeline for the return to school to the Leaving Certs. And I think if we can do that, if we can achieve both those objectives, I think then it's easier to look at a graduated return, making sure that the numbers are down in the community of the virus, so that sense teachers aren't going into, that they're going back maybe to the environment we had in the autumn where we were able to manage this. If the numbers continue to fall, that will be the environment we're going back into. We've shown we can do it. I would say particularly secondary schools, in my mind, what I noticed in the when the HSE and EFID provided advice on this in the autumn, actually our secondary schools had shown a remarkable achievement that they'd a lower transmission rate than primary schools, and one would expect the opposite because of lower transmissibility among young age groups, that the mask wearing that had gone on in school and the discipline in a sense of our students and our teachers and the principals had actually made it possible, as Tony Hoolan and Ronan Glynn
the parameters outlined to us early on so we know exactly where we stand.
I agree, and I think that will happen, particularly for the Leaving Cert students. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, should that decision be taken? Because we hear, you know, the middle of February, first week in February, the decision might be taken. It would seem that the decision could be taken now if we know that schools won't be back in full until Easter.
Yeah, but you also need to make sure that the trade unions and the other interested parties are involved. You don't just, we're not just going to say, oh, here's what it is.
The students are the most important
they
people in this.
They absolutely are, and that's why I believe that clarity will come within the next 2 weeks, particularly for Leaving Cert students first.
Big knockback on the vaccination front over the course of the weekend when we heard that the supply of AstraZeneca is going to be reduced. What impact will that break in supply have on the vaccine rollout?
We'll know later this week. Apparently AstraZeneca are due to make a statement to the European Union as part of a European approach. We're due, I think it is 3.3 million or so doses of AstraZeneca, so it's critical. It's going to be one of the mainstream approaches. Now we have,
I think we were to get 1.4 million by the end of March, and that's going to be reduced now to 1.1 million, meaning that we won't hit our target of 700,000 vaccines by the end of that month.
True, but there are a variety of other measures taking place where we've taken a larger number of dosage from early vaccines, where we've extended to 28 rather than 21 days, the kind of gap. So there are a number of different moving parts in this. What I hear, we had a briefing from the Breen McGrath and all the health officials last Wednesday in terms of what's happened. What the main thing they said is this will continue to adapt, that it is a plan that has to keep changing, because we will be relying on 4 or 5 or 6 vaccines in truth. And the production process in each may adjust. What we saw with Pfizer, that example, ended up being a 1 week adjustment. Mm-hmm. Now we kind of gained a week by other measures, so it ended up balancing itself out. It is in this, we are not in control of international manufacturing supplies. We will, I think the appropriate approach is with the European Union. And I would say, I think what Mike Ryan says on this, it's actually being part of, come back to this idea about an international approach. And going back about the fear of variants and so on, that might come in from another distant location. Actually, what we need to be part of coordinating is an international response right across the world, so that the COVAX strategy the European Union is supporting, that developing countries, every country gets access to vaccine in an organised way. We need to start thinking in that coordinated way. Yes, we have to manage our rollout here, but it does have to be part of an international approach.
Yeah, I understand that, but you know, your role as a minister in this country is to protect the citizens of this country.
Agreed.
And the over 70s here are wondering this morning, when am I going to get, they're clinging on by their fingernails, and you know that. I mean, I know you talk to these people. They are clinging on by their fingernails, waiting to hear when they're going to be vaccinated. And as it stands, they don't know. They don't have a timeline, do they?
Claire, like everyone listening, I'm sure, I have a mother at home who's waiting for that vaccine. It's absolutely in our interest. She, as part of every other person over 70, will be the next category. What we decided to do was healthcare workers first, frontline, 70,000. And that was a slight adjustment, but I think it was the correct adjustment in my mind to make, because they're under such stress and risk.
Mm-hmm. Secondly, and not all of them have been vaccinated yet, and won't be until the middle of February.
No,
we
but
know that.
Secondly, it is all those in healthcare, in nursing home settings, both workers and staff. My understanding is that they were that first round of inoculation of vaccination was completed yesterday. Thirdly, those next tranche of healthcare workers and all those over 70 on a coordinated basis using GPs and other people to deliver it. That will start in mid-February, is my understanding. And they're the key categories. They're the categories that are most at risk. Sorry, the next, obviously, category in terms of people with underlying health conditions. They're the people that we have to get it to the greatest speed possible. And government is doing everything and working with their health service to do everything to get to them. Can I say one thing that just give people confidence in my mind? People give out a lot about our health service and rightly many cases and so on. But from my perspective, looking at the people involved right the way through, they've done a very good job. They've actually shown themselves in clinical capability. While it's a terrible tragedy, any loss of life, our loss of life within those who have to go into the ECU system is actually lower than international comparison. In rollout of vaccine, I think Paul Reid and the HSC and his team of people are actually delivering. And I know there are gaps, and I know there'll be cases where people haven't got it and absolutely feel unjustified or absolutely justified anger. But if you look at the overall approach that they've taken, they've shown flexibility and capability. And I think at this difficult time, at this difficult moment, particularly in the health system, I was talking to a colleague this morning, where wife working in a hospital where actually there's huge transmission at this moment. And everyone is obviously terrified by instances like that. But we can control this. We are good at this as a country and as a people.
Do we need a clinical lead on vaccines? Tony O'Brien saying that over the weekend, and he said it on this programme as well. I mean, some people would call for a minister for vaccines, or do we need a clinical person? What's your view?
I think a clinical lead would be the appropriate, because it is a very clinical position.
Is that a government view that there should be somebody who is answerable on the vaccine front?
There is. I mean, our Paul Reid is the head of our HSC. The HSC is managing this system. I trust in Paul and his team.
Okay, so he is the clinical lead.
In my perspective, if there's something happening in the health system in the delivery, I mean, obviously you have the department, minister, secretary general, and all the systems. Yeah. But in terms of actually delivery of the services and delivery of clinical response, I turn to the HSC and I think they've done a good job.
On your own brief, just want to bring you some reaction as we've been talking. They're 11 months too late. Iceland started airport mandatory testing on the 1st of June. We appear to be very slow to cop on. Too little, too late, says another listener. So you get the vibe there.
We were probably the first country to respond to that new variant by shutting down UK travel. We were one of the first countries to introduce this requirement in the European Union, this PCR. You're absolutely right in terms of people are validly concerned. But we have as a country, we were actually, as the country said, historically over the last 9 months, had the greatest restrictions in traffic. While other countries in Europe last summer, were opening up aviation again and everyone was flying ever again, we actually didn't. Okay. Now, there was still some flights. That is going to be dramatically restricted in the coming weeks. Because of the risk of this new variant, we're going to take a much tougher, much stricter, much more wary approach, while still allowing emergency essential people to come in out.
Minister, thank you very much for joining us. Minister Eamon Ryan.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.